Let's bring in the voice of the Oakland A's. First time we get a chance to catch up with Ken Korak here on our show. Ken, welcome in. How are you?
Jason, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're glad. Ken and I are both glad it's baseball season. I'm sure you are, too. Is this a time of year just to get you kind of recharged? You've done this a long time, but does the beginning of the year always kind of fire you up?
There's no doubt, especially with the kind of opening night that the A's had with a sellout crowd and then honoring Bill King and Ricky Henderson and all the emotion in the building. And you played the call from the last out of yesterday's game. And that was, you know, you don't want to go overboard this early in the year. After all, you play 162 games. But it was pretty important for the A's to get the win yesterday to finish that series against the Angels and at least get out of there with a split.
Hey, Ken. This is Ken. And
Ken.
Hi, friend. I was watching that game, and I was actually shocked by that. When you said the crowd that showed up for opening night, I was actually really, really surprised and impressed. And I know the fans have always been pretty loyal. But as far as this team is concerned this year, do they have anything to hang their hats on to say, hey, our team has a chance to compete, and if not, win the American League West, get that wild card spot?
Well, you always have a chance, and they've surprised people before. And you can go back to 2012 when nobody picked them to do anything. Now, I don't think that I'm not going to go out on a limb and pick them to win the division this year, but there's a reason you play the games. Now, there's no question it's one of those years where everything will have to break right for that to happen, for the A's to have a shot. I think one thing that would be critical, Kent, is for Sonny Gray to come back. Now, he's going to throw a bullpen session today down here in Arlington before the game, and he's itching to go. And if they can get him back at some point toward the end of this month, that would really help because it's a very young rotation. Although I think generally they pitched well in the series against the Angels. One thing that has to happen, and this is critical moving forward, especially in this first month, because the A's will play 23 of their first 26 games against the American League West. They played very poorly against the West last year. In fact, they had the worst record in their own division since 20 years ago, since 1997, when they fared that poorly. So these games in your division are really critical right now.
You mentioned Sonny Gray, Ken. Obviously, they want him back. They need him back. What are the expectations from when he comes back? Because when he burst onto the scene, there was such a bright light and such an amazing future. Where do you think he is if all things go right and he does get healthy?
Well, it's a big year for him. Last year was really the first time, and this is a guy that was an incredible athlete in high school. So he had never faced the kind of adversity that he dealt with last year, both in terms of his performance and also physically. So, and I think that's one reason why this year and being derailed by this injury has been so frustrating for him, because he was geared up mentally and he worked really hard in the offseason. He felt great when the spring training campaign began. And so I think that just added to the sense that maybe even urgency that when he gets back, and I think there's a reason the A's are being careful with him, because Sonny is one of those full out guys. When he's on the mound, I mean, it is 100%, and he's a very intense competitor, and they're not going to let him come back until he's 100% ready to go physically.
Ken, we got off to a great start, but I think I'm about to ruin this right now, and I apologize in advance. My point is, I am a huge, huge fan of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and
that's okay. I grew up an Angels fan.
Oh, okay, then we're already
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean,
every year when it comes to this, I feel like, especially this year, okay, I don't fear the Rangers, I don't fear the Mariners, and I don't fear the Astros, but every year, I'm always afraid of the A's, and the reason why is because they always have some young talent that comes up through the farm system. I'm like, where'd they get that guy from? But this year, and maybe in the last 2 years, I feel like maybe their farm system is not as strong as it has been. Am I understanding that correctly? And if so, what happened?
Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay.
And I think it's a big part of this year. And when we talk in September, perhaps some of the conversations will be different, because I really think that part of this season is laying the foundation for the future. Because the A's have some very good players coming up in the minor leagues, and especially position players on the infield. It's not inconceivable that by the end of the year, you could see Franklin Barreto playing a lot and Matt Chapman playing a lot, and it's critical that those guys develop into bona fide major league players, and even I think we could say that they develop into star players, because the future of this club, I think in part will revolve around how some of these young players perform going on into the future. So going down to spring training this year, and we discount what happens on the field, and the wins and losses don't mean anything in the batting averages, but it was great to see some of these young players because there's a lot of talent down there. There's a lot of athleticism. And so I'm actually really encouraged by the crop of players coming up right now.
And then what seems to be the A's staple, Ken, for all these years is not only that young group, but they sprinkle in a veteran here and there. And this year, whether it's Trevor Plouffe or Joyce or Rajay Davis coming back, Adam Rosales, even Casilla out of the bullpen, what do those guys kind of mean to the overall package of what the A's are trying to do?
Well, plus sometimes you sign a guy and you can flip him and get some young players in return, like last year, as you know, Rich Hill. And, of course, Josh Reddick, who had been in the organization, and the A's got three top pitching prospects from the Dodgers, and two of those guys are on the roster right now. I think one of the biggest things, to answer your question about the young players, would be the vibe around the club. Now, the vibe on the club isn't going to take you from a 75-win team to a 90-win team, but it can certainly help. And there was an issue with that last year, and that was pretty well documented. And then even in talking about some of these young guys who we expect to join the team later this year, you need to have the players come into a conducive atmosphere in the clubhouse. And so there's a lot of leadership on this club. And I enjoy being around these guys. They're veterans who've been through the wars, but can also set a positive example. And as far as what we've seen, and this is something that they really stressed and they hammered into the players during the spring, the A's had an on-base percentage as a team last year at 304, which is unacceptable. And there's nobody on the club or in the front office that would accept that. And they've worked really hard on being more diligent with their professional at-bats, working the count, getting deeper, getting better pitches to hit. And I think some of the veterans have helped from that standpoint.
You know, I was thinking about some of the younger players, the impressive pitchers that have come up through the farm system for the A's, and you're going to be facing one of those in A.J. Griffin tonight, who's now with the Texas Rangers. How do you feel about facing him? And
yeah,
does the team have the right, do you think they'll have the right approach at the plate? And what is the right approach to get to AJ today?
Well, AJ's got a very good slow overhand curve, and you can't try to pull that pitch. So that'd be the first thing to me is the recognition of the curveball and trying to hit that pitch the other way. And, you know, AJ Griffin's return is an interesting tie-in to the fact the A's have Santiago Casilla back with the club, because when Griffin made his debut for the A's, it was a day game against the Giants at the Coliseum. He pitched extremely well, and Derek Norris won that game for the A's with a walk-off home run off of Santiago Casilla. So, you know, AJ's a good kid, and he's battled back. He really missed 2 years. First, he had Tommy John surgery, and then it kind of mushroomed on him with injuries. And so I was thrilled that he came back and actually pitched pretty well for the Rangers last year.
You know, Ken, one other thing that's always going to be out there with this team is the stadium. They've been kind of quiet on this whole Raiders experience that's going on, the eventual move to Las Vegas. What do you think that's going to do for the A's? Any more talks about, you know, something at Jack London Square or redoing what they have there? Where are they in their stadium look?
Well, if you know Dave Cavill, the new A's president, he is pretty vocal and he's full of enthusiasm and he's made a big impact with the organization and short period of time, and he has actually come out and said, he's on record as saying that the expectation is the A's will have an announcement of a stadium site by the end of the year, and hopefully actually during the summer, maybe at some point during the season, but certainly at the end of the year. I don't necessarily think the Raiders situation has as big an impact on the A's future and the stadium plans maybe as other people might think. There really are three sites they're looking very seriously at right now, all of them in the Oakland area. There's one out kind of near Lake Merritt, south of downtown. You mentioned Jack London, the Howard Terminal site, and obviously the Coliseum would still be in play. So this is, in all the years I've been with the club, and this is my 22nd season, this is the most optimistic I've been about stadium possibilities.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's encouraging, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're all looking forward to it. We're thrilled with some of the progress that's been made from that standpoint.
Yeah, and then just kind of one follow-up on that. If I remember right, Ken, don't you spend your off-season – is your off-season home in Las Vegas?
It is, kind of splitting between the Bay Area. I spent about 6 weeks this off-season in the Bay Area, but, primarily we're out in Vegas during the off-season.
Okay, so I guess my question on that would be, Ken and I and Damian, who's off today normally with us, we just kind of debate the Raiders' move to Vegas, not – you know, what will it be for the people that live there? I mean, do you have any pulse on that? Will there be a steady dose of season ticket holders that will buy into the Raiders that live in Vegas? What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's a great question, Jason. I have not been there in a while because we were down in spring training for about 6 weeks, and I came straight to the Bay Area after that. So I wasn't there when the vote came down by the NFL owners. I think they're going to do very well there. That being said, it's heartbreaking for the fans of the Raiders. And this is the second time this has happened, of course, all those years ago when they moved down to L.A. So it's very tough on a fan base when something like this does happen. And there's the emotional attachment that fans, of course, develop with a team. And so it's right. I go back to the Raiders in the days of Frank Ewell Field, and some very good friends were involved in that franchise even back in the 60s. So it's a tough deal for them. But I think it'll be a big thing in Vegas. I think it's a slam dunk for them. You don't have to fill the stadium nearly as much, of course, as you would for basketball or for baseball. So I think they'll do very well in Vegas.
You know, as I listen to you talk, Ken, I can only think of one question. At what age did your voice change? And no, I'm serious, because it's like wicked, wicked deep and full. Like, at what point did it change, and what was your reaction?
I have no idea how to answer that question. the only thing I appreciate that, but the only thing I can say is that I've been very fortunate, because from the time that I was probably 8 years old, I wanted to be a broadcaster. And so this is one of the things where there are still times now when I drive into the ballpark and I remind myself that this is pretty cool that it's worked out this way. Pretty fortunate.
Yeah, it's meant to be.
I think absolutely meant to be.
Well, Ken, it's always great catching up with you. Have a great time in Texas. I know we'll do this plenty of times throughout the season. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's always a pleasure. And as you guys know, it's great for us to be involved with the station. You guys have been great to us.
Thanks, Ken.
Hey, thank you.
Anytime.